Welcome back on this Monday to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and thank you so much for being with us. It means a great deal that you take this time to be with us, and we love being with you. Our number is 888-318-7884, and I imagine the phones will be quite busy this hour, so you might want to dial if you'd like to talk with our guest, Father Sebastian Walsh. Father Walsh is a Norbertine priest from St. Michael's Abbey here in California, and the author of this brand new book. He previously wrote Secrets from Heaven, Hidden Treasures of Faith in the Parables and Conversations of Jesus, and his latest book, Always a Catholic, How to Keep Your Kids in the Faith for Life and Bring Them Back If They Have Strayed. The first thing I'd say is get Secrets of Heaven and leave it on their coffee table. But Father, I'm sure we'll have many other ideas. Father Sebastian Walsh, thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's great to be back, Cy. Thank you.
I don't know if you know this, but I believe you might have stumbled on the one book that everybody wants. I mean, this is it's an epidemic, really, of parents saying, what happened? The kids reach late teens or early adulthood, and the question is, what happened? And how do I get them back?
Yeah. Well, it's no secret to me from the standpoint of the fact that as a priest, the number one question I get asked is, how do I keep my kids Catholic, or how do I help them come back if they've left? And often they ask, why did they leave? And one thing I think is really true is that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure,
right,
in this front. It's a lot easier to do the things right on the front end and then have to kind of reverse course and help them come back in the back end, because there's a lot of wounds there and a lot of difficulty for them, you know, to re-embrace their faith. But the truth of the matter is that God often has for each person a certain path they have to take in order to be really fully Catholic. I remember one of my friends, they're a wonderful family, but one of their sons sort of went off the rails there and is not living a good moral life. And I said to them, what he's got from his background and his growing up compared to what he's going to have by following this life, there's going to be no comparison. And eventually he's going to want to come back. And when he comes back, he's a child in your, they have a bunch of kids. He's a child in your family that's most likely to become a saint, in my opinion, even though he's living this completely, you know, right, off the rails life. And I have a lot of confidence in that. So hopefully that that sense of God's in charge and he's taking care of your children is something that has to be at the root of every parent's response to this crisis.
888-318-7884. If you have questions today for our guest, Father Sebastian Walsh, about keeping your kids in the faith or bringing them back if they have strayed from the faith, 888-318-7884. I mean, certainly one of the things, you talk about an ounce of prevention being worth a pound of cure. One of the things I take from the text here is that it's not a shocker, but living the faith is a big part of transferring the faith to your children.
Absolutely. And it can't be just living the faith in comparison to the average Catholic. That just doesn't work anymore. Maybe in 1955, when, you know, everyone was going to church every Sunday and people had a lot of different, you know, Catholic, you know, activities they were doing, and they were watching Fulton Sheen once a week on TV, and you know, in a previous world, almost 100 years ago now,
yeah,
it may be that it was easy to sort of go with the flow. But to be a Catholic today, just to be a serious Catholic, means to be very countercultural and to do things that the world thinks are weird. I'll be honest with you, you know, that the world would just say, no, you shouldn't do that. That's just strange or different. And then on top of it, you have to be joyful, right? Think of how the first Christians looked to the early Romans and try and reproduce that in the modern world. That's really the idea, is, you know, you have to be something that's very obviously in the world but not of the world, and something which is strikingly different, so that everyone sees this striking divide between who's a Catholic and who's not. And without that, really there's very little hope that your children are going to catch fire and embrace the faith, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. There's going to be, no matter, I could do everything you say in this book, these children are going to face the temptations, and they're really powerful temptations of the world today. So,
yes.
But But what you're doing is really increasing the probability that they'll know what they're about if you're doing these things, if you're living your faith joyfully.
Absolutely. You know, I mentioned at the beginning of the book that your children have free will, and this book is not a guaranteed that your children are going to stay Catholic if you do all these things. They have free will. And I point out, even Jesus, who did everything perfectly, lost one of his 12 apostles. Mm-hmm. And that's because Judas had free will like the rest of them. And even the rest of the apostles ended up at some point fleeing and failing, but 11 of the 12 came back. And I can say this much, that if you follow the advice I give in this book, number one, it's going to make it a lot easier for your kids to want to be Catholic. And even if they go astray, like I said, like the example I gave you of the family I told you about, they'll be able to compare their future life and all the sadness that they had with their past life and the joyful Catholic upbringing they had. And they'll say, there's no comparison. They'll have that prodigal son moment where they say, you know, how many in my father's house abound with bread while I perish with hunger? And then that'll make it so much easier for them to come back. So one way or the other, if you're doing the right things and you're living a joyful Catholic life, that's going to help them either stay Catholic or come back to the Catholic faith if the world overcomes them with the deceptions and temptations which it so powerfully presents to young people.
888-318-7884. Father Sebastian Walsh, our guest. The book is Always a Catholic. And if you have questions about helping to keep your children in the faith or questions perhaps about helping them return to the faith, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. The basic directions, I guess, that are in all of us of the moral life are do good and avoid evil. But you say, as a parent, stress do good more than avoid evil. And it's striking because in the world, there's so much that we want to say, stay away from that. That's not for you. That's not going to give you what you think you want. But you say stress do good more than avoid evil.
Yes. And one of the reasons for that is our natural tendencies are to stress the avoid evil part. Yeah. It's so much easier to punish a child when they're doing something wrong, and it just comes to mind. Like if you see a kid doing something wrong, you immediately think punish him. But how often do you think reward him and encourage him and praise him when he's doing something good, right? Just a simple example. I remember years ago I was sitting in the dining room with the family, and there was a grandfather in the room who had himself had many children and many, many grandchildren. And he was probably in his 70s at this point. And he was known as a parent but for being really strict with his kids. And one of his grandkids was doing something he shouldn't be doing. And he called the little grandson over and he said, if you do this, go over and do that and behave, I'll give you a quarter. And he went away happy and went and did it. And then he turned to me and he said, it took me a long time to learn that. Just a little thing, like, you know, you can react to the same exact, you know, facts in different ways. And and the fact of the matter is that the moral life, the only reason why you avoid evil is so you can do good. When it all comes down to, we're about happiness, not avoiding pain. You know, the moral life can't just be about avoiding pain and suffering. It has to be affirmatively about becoming happy. And St. Thomas has this amazing treatment when he's talking about the vice of pusillanimity, small-souledness. And he asks whether or not it's worse than vainglory. Vainglory is like this desire to sort of for your own excellence. And he says, no, pusillanimity, small-souledness, where you don't do the goods you could do, that's actually much worse than vainglory because it results in the omission of much good. And the omission of much good ends up being more harmful to the moral life than the doing of evil sometimes. And, you know, so it's a striking fact that the moral life is primarily about doing good and secondarily about avoiding evil.
Father Sebastian Walsh, our guest, 888-318-7884, our number. You are welcome to call 888-318-7884. We've got a free ebook for you. It's called Understanding the Book of Revelation. We try to have a free ebook available from time to time, and this is one lots of people have wanted help with, Understanding the Book of Revelation. So that's what's available right now. You just go to shop.catholic.com, you click on the banner for the free ebook, and you get it. That's it, shop.catholic.com. It's free, it's an ebook, and it's called Understanding the Book of Revelation.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live. The Aquinas Writing Advantage program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
I had called in last spring about talking to my parents and I was going to convert to the church and how to talk to them. They were not happy at all, but I was confirmed to the church at the Easter Vigil service, and we really don't talk about the topic, but our relationship is still intact, so that's a good thing. Just wanted to say thank you, and I still listen every day because I always learn something new.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
It's a book much needed in our day. Always a Catholic, How to Keep Your Kids in the Faith for Life and Bring Them Back If They've Strayed. 888-318-7884 is our number. If you have questions in that vein, Father Sebastian Walsh is our guest. 888-318-7884. I sometimes feel myself, Father, now that my wife and I have raised our children, that when I see folks with young children, I want to give them a sense of urgency about sharing the faith with their kids, not a sense of easygoingness about it. And for this reason, the people who are trying to take it away are working really hard, and they will be in your home before you realize it. What the kid will see something on the internet or even on the Disney Channel, and I'm not trying to pick on Disney, I'm just saying that these messages that in various ways undermine the faith get to your children before you thought they were going to. You think you've got till 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade. You don't have that much time, and be careful now. Do you feel the same way?
Yes. Oh, yeah. And as a priest, I know that's a fact. You know, one of the things as a priest, I have a privileged viewpoint to the interior lives, the consciences of young people who come to confession and things like that. And I can tell you that most parents have no idea how early their children are exposed to bad things through the internet. They're completely clueless. And I often say, you know, you're roughly in my generation here, Cy. When you and I were kids, the internet did not exist. Right. And so we don't think about the internet as a really, you know, we don't think about it in terms of exactly how dangerous it can be with regard to all sorts of things. And I don't mean just pornography, though that's, I think, the primary problem, but also, you know, ideas that they're ingesting through the internet, predators over the internet, bad relationships over the internet, and things like that, right? We have no idea sort of what sort of things are happening there. And I often say this next generation, the people who are basically 25 and younger, who grew up with the internet as children, are getting the short shift because of the fact that their parents didn't protect them because their parents didn't know what to protect them from.
Right.
Their parents have the internet as full-grown adults with an already developed and formed moral life that allows them to have guards and filters to protect them against the, you know, a lot of the stuff that's coming in. But they don't realize their children don't have those guards and filters on them. And, you know, while they're over in the kitchen, their kids on the internet, unbeknownst to them, looking at something for the first time they've never seen and they shouldn't be seeing. I would estimate, for example, just to give you a, you know, this might be a surprise to many listeners, I would estimate the first time a child is exposed to pornography is about 8 years old now.
Oh, my Lord.
And most parents think that that doesn't happen till they're 15.
Yeah.
And
right.
And then, you just can't be, naive anymore. You need to have the internet really locked down if you have children in your house all the way till, you know, their minds are formed to the early 20s, you know.
Right. And certainly if you're an 8-year-old child, you are not, I mean, all of us are vulnerable, but that's a level of vulnerability to that kind of imagery that is really enormous. And a lifelong hurt could be done very quickly at that age.
Yeah. And they feel very ashamed of it. So, of course, they won't tell their parents about it. But then at the same time, it puts a hook in them that makes them, you know, start to want to go back to it, you know. And so it's a very deadly thing, and often the parents don't find out about it until it's years later, you know?
Yeah.
So I advise, I mean, the internet is just one thing, and I have a whole chapter on the kinds of influences that can happen in your home. But if I had to say public enemy number one for the Catholic faith of your children in your home, it's going to be the internet. And so I recommend being extremely cautious, over, you know, from your perspective, from the way the modern world thinks, overly cautious. Yeah. For example, I think it's crazy to get a teenager a smartphone. If you've given your teenager a smartphone, you've essentially condemned them to a life of struggling with immense temptations throughout their whole life. And that's a sin on a part of a parent. I don't think any parent should give their children a smartphone. They're not developed. They're not ready yet. And they're going to be exposed to things that they have, in all rights, they have a right to be protected from by their parents. So
888-318-7884. Yes, it's I really appreciate the way you said it, because I do think that that's the case, that people who for whom the internet became a thing when you were already a formed adult, and when it became a thing, it kind of gradually, slowly dawned on the world. That's not the same as an eight-year-old discovering it today, and within a matter of hours can really have their faith in their parents, in the and in God, shaken at a very, very young and vulnerable age.
Yes, that's right. And they just, they need protection. And that's your job as a parent, is to protect your children. And like I said, that may sound weird. All their friends who are not Catholics may end up having smartphones, or all their friends might have easy access to the internet. And they're going to wonder, like, why are we different? And why can't we be like everyone else? But you know what? The first Christians weren't like everyone else either. And it's about time Christian Catholic parents take a stand and say, no more. I'm not going to go with what the world says. There's a reason why Jesus calls Satan the prince of the air. You know, he has this dominion over the means of communication in this world, and we have to be correspondingly careful and vigilant. You know,
888-318-7884. The number, Always a Catholic, is the book. If you have questions about bringing your kids up Catholic or keeping them Catholic as you bring them up, or helping them return to the faith after those many, you know, temptations or even abuses that you see on the internet have maybe got their hooks into them, 888-318-7884. We go first to Austin, Texas. Anne in Austin, Texas, thank you so much for your call. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Father Sebastian Walsh.
Hello. Hello, Father. Thank you for your
priesthood,
and thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you.
A question regarding a 28-year-old son. I have four children. This is the one wayward child. We're a very devout Catholic family. My husband has been called to the diaconate, grew up just trying super hard to raise all of our kids. We pray the rosary. And he was an altar boy, carried the cross. He read the Bible. He was a camp counselor at a Catholic camp. He also fell in, though, late high school years. He's a very intelligent, super high IQ kid who fell in with some very highly academic, non-faith-driven people, kids, and even teachers. And then he went to college, to a public college, and fell away. Now what he says, and we have a very close relationship, we all do, but he says, why should he follow, you know, a bunch of old, you know, carpenters and fishermen in robes that really lived many, many years ago? They're not, you know, they didn't have education, weren't educated in the ways of the world. So he's just sort of fallen away from our wonderful Catholic faith, and it's hard to sort of speak on the subject anymore. And he moved out to California.
Well, there's your problem right there. That's Father and I both live in California. All right, and I just interrupt you only for this. I want to let Father respond, and we can maybe have a little conversation. Father?
Sure, absolutely. So look, it's interesting the way he puts it. St. Thomas Aquinas actually mentions, he says, why didn't Jesus call among his apostles more educated men, right? He had a few. He had St. Paul, for example, and then there was Nicodemus and so forth. He says, why did Jesus call mostly uneducated fishermen and, as he said, carpenters and whatever else? Why did he call them? And he said, in order to manifest that the power of the Christian faith was not because of human ingenuity or human wisdom or human ability, but that it had to be from God. You know, how do a bunch of carpenters and fishermen and uneducated people who'd never even been in a square of a big city, how do they convert the whole world to a new religion? And so that's something right in and of itself, that if your son's willing to admit that the foundations, the original people in our religion, were so ignorant, then that the fact that they were able to influence so greatly the history of the world in a striking way is already a sign of its divine origin. But nevertheless, St. Thomas then adds, but in order that the faith might not be impugned as being simply for the illiterate, God did, the Lord Jesus did call some who were learned in order to make a defense of the faith. And supreme among those in the recent, you know, in the last half of the church would be St. Thomas Aquinas himself. And I would recommend that your son really engage in, if he's willing to be intellectually honest, engage in the high-level theology and philosophy that the Catholic Church has to offer in the whole Catholic tradition. My sense is he probably is utterly unaware of the great contribution to science, to philosophy, to theology, to the whole development of culture and its highest expressions that Catholics and members of the Catholic Church have made. Starting, of course, like I said, the best person he can go to is St. Thomas Aquinas. And then we've got, you know, you've got more particular groups that are dedicated to a defense of the faith. You know, the first one I think of always is Catholic Answers. But there are many, many excellent resources with regard to, if you have serious, strong intellectual objections to the truth of the Catholic faith, then bring it on. We have no fear. The church has no fear. We're able to engage with even the most sophisticated, you know, science, philosophy, theology, whatever objections people want to make. The Catholic Church is open and available for business on that front too. So I offer that as a way of saying, okay, if your son's serious about that, then say, okay, why don't you engage then with people who really are knowledgeable philosophers, theologians, scientists, and see whether or not they have a reason for the hope which is within them. Okay. So that would be my first recommendation for him.
Anne, what do you think?
Yes, it sounds great. Sometimes he's resistant to that. I've worked on him a little bit on that, but I will continue to send the resources, and I'm going to send him something from St. Thomas Aquinas. And
great.
Catholic Answers is where it's at for me. So I send him stuff all the time, and he takes it, but I'm not sure he's ready. But he
Go ahead. Where does he live in California, Anne?
He lives in San Francisco. Oakland.
Oakland. Oh, he's up there. Okay. I thought if he's down here in Southern California, then ask him if he's willing to meet with me. I would meet with him and talk to him about that. But there are some good sound priests up there in the Oakland and also San Francisco Archdiocese there that he could meet with. So
yeah, that's where he is.
If he's willing, when he's willing, you know, that would be the step to take. There's also the secondary thing, and that is ask him about like what's going on in his moral life and whether or not there aren't secondary motives that are going on there. Rarely is an intellectual abandonment of the Catholic faith purely intellectual. There's usually another component to it, and he might not be willing to talk about that, but, you know, maybe his dad should talk to him a little about those things. So, okay.
And I hope that that's all helpful to you. I just want to tell you about my day. This is not completely self-centered, but I got to do an interview this morning with a woman named Karin Oberg. And Karin Oberg is maybe the best astrochemist in the world. She's a professor at Harvard. And we talked to her about the Big Bang and her Catholic faith. And just spending, 40 minutes with somebody who operates at that high level. She's a member of the Society of Catholic Scientists. But she's also just a world class scientist. And she spoke just about this with us a little bit. So it's going to come out on Focus a week or two, Darren, something like that. That's our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus. Maybe just have him listen to Karin Oberg, because here is a person who intellectually is second to nobody on this planet. I mean, you don't become a Harvard professor of astrochemistry because you're a dope and just a solid Catholic woman. And I say that in part because it gave me an opportunity to, plug our podcast. But maybe something like connecting with her class at the Thomistic Institute, or connecting with the Society of Catholic Scientists, it will help at least it's not just us here at Catholic Answers doing our best to share it, but you can really trust the authority of somebody like Karen Oberg. I don't, or maybe Father Spitzer is another one. I don't know if you've got any other suggestions, mm-hmm. Father.
Well, and you mentioned the Thomistic Institute, and I think he's up in the Bay Area. So obviously the Dominicans there at St. Albert, they do a lot of wonderful work there on intellectual fronts. And so if your son is willing to engage in that conversation, then encourage him once he's willing.
Karen Oberg is the name of the person I suggested. If you just look on Focus in the next week or two, it'll be up there at CatholicAnswersFocus.com. And maybe just share that interview with them, because she has all the charm of the Catholic faith. You know, that she's a true Catholic and a tremendous scientist. Maybe that'll shake something loose. Right back with more with our guest, Father Sebastian Walsh, right after this.
This is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Thank you for listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kid's soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and he desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of his will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I mean, just this weekend, given a talk with people my age, you know, we've got grown children, and you can't give a talk to a room full of people, all social distancing, by the way, all wearing masks. I just want you to know that of our age, without the question, you know, and really the thing that you can see the hurt in the eyes of moms and dads our age of. Why did they reject this? They had every reason not to, and they did. That's what Father Sebastian Walsh's book is about, is preventing that in the future and helping those of us who have suffered through that kind of mourning and loss of a child becoming disconnected from the faith. The book is called Always a Catholic, How to Keep Your Kids in the Faith for Life and Bring Them Back If They've Strayed. 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. Father, I know that your emphasis in here is really the best thing is for them not to stray. And I think some of us almost have a romanticized idea of, oh, everyone's got to have their time away from the faith. And but that's not true, is it?
No, it's not true. And within our religion itself, we see that there's two kinds of people that God gathers to himself. There's those who never strayed, and then those who strayed and came back. And God intends both, so to speak. You know, for some people, that's the only path that they're going to grow on in God's providence, and we shouldn't give up hope. But God normally intends for us not to sin. When we come into the world, you know, his desire is that we're like Our Lady, you know, we're like, you know, the beautiful saints who never lost their baptismal innocence, like Teresa of Lisieux and so forth. Yeah. That's God's original intention and design. And in some sense, it's only a lack of gratitude that makes us, you know, move away from that and original intention of God. But obviously, that, you know, if your children don't stray, what's going to happen is they're going to be saved a lot of suffering, sorrow, pain, as will you.
Yeah.
And there's no sense. We already have crosses in this world. There's no sense in making your own crosses and constructing heavier crosses than the one God intends for you. But we do that. Our sin, our failure to trust in God ends up resulting in heavier crosses of our own making. Those are the ones that are really unbearable. And God doesn't want us to suffer if we don't have to.
888-318-7884, our number, 888-318-7884. So will you run us through some of what you have learned as a priest about how to avoid that? I mean, and I don't want any parent to feel like it's your fault that it happened, you know, like, but how to give your child, that little boy or girl, the best chance of growing into adulthood without losing their faith?
Yes. Well, when it comes down to it, there's a single principle that I outlined at the very beginning of my book. And that single principle is this: your children will remain Catholic if they think being Catholic will help them to be happy. That's a simple principle right there, right then and there. And you can do things that can assist that experience and that conviction in your children's souls, or that can get in the way and be obstacles of that. You know, to give a simple example, let's say their experience of the sacraments, right? You can do things to assist a joyful experience of the sacraments. You don't know how many people I've met as a Catholic who've said, like, I had this horrible experience with whatever sacrament, confession or confirmation or whatever. And I think, gosh, it's a shame that they had negative associations with that. You know, I give examples in the book, like, let's say your child is preparing for their first confession and first communion. Well, what do? Well, you make that a special time, right? You, you know, in the ideal world, you're able to somehow schedule just a kind of an individual first confession with a priest. You let them know in advance, I've got a kid who's going to make their first confession, and make sure that, you know, I want them to have a very positive experience of that. And then you bring them personally to the confessional, you pray with them outside, and you let them go in. When they come out, you give them a big hug and you tell them how proud you are of them. Then you go home and you have a party, you celebrate with your whole family. Make it a time of all these positive experiences and associations, right?
Yes.
And that's, you know, at the beginning, you know, it's one of the chapters of my book, little children need ice cream happiness. Meaning, like, when they're very young, they just need positive associations, positive feelings associated with the practice of their faith, right? Now, conversely, you can be an obstacle because you can have these negative associations with the practice of their faith. And I'll give a couple examples. On the one hand, you could have this situation where you've got this, you know, Catholic family that seems very ideal. They're very traditional and everyone has their hands folded like that. And the girls have their mantillas on and they kneel bolt upright in church and everything like that. But it's all from fear. You know, their dad or their mom is telling them, just like, you know, if you don't behave in church, you're going to go to hell. And so what happens is that primary idea of, like, really it's all about avoiding evil. They see the whole experience of the Catholic faith as avoiding punishment. And this, they have this very fearful experience and they're constantly afraid of everything. And so they constantly have these negative emotions always associated with the practice of their faith. That's not helpful for them. They need to have positive experiences that involve joy, not fearful experiences and sad experiences that involve, you know, negative emotions. And another example that comes in that a lot of people don't even recognize is when you have in a marriage, almost always in every marriage, even if both spouses are Catholic and seriously Catholic, one spouse is almost always more devout than the other. It's very rare that you've got a kind of an equality with regard to the devotion of the parents. And what often happens is the more devout parent sees it as their role to protect their children from the less devout parent, from their bad influences. And so they think the natural thing they have to do is, well, I have to love God more than my spouse, and therefore I have to attack my spouse for the sake of making sure my children don't fall into his or her bad example. And what happens from the perspective of the children is, mom and dad, when they argue, it's always about the Catholic faith. And so their association of the Catholic faith is, it drives a wedge between my parents. And now what child will want to embrace a faith that drives a wedge between their parents? And so while the more devout Catholic parent thinks they're doing everything that's right to help their kid remain Catholic, what in fact they're doing is they're driving their children away from the faith because they're giving them extremely negative associations. They think being a Catholic means fighting parents, means parents who don't love one another, means parents who are distant from each other. And, you know, you have to take the approach that St. Monica took, you know, that she wasn't criticizing her husband. She wasn't attacking him in front of her son. She wasn't doing any of that. She was just saying, well, the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the believing wife. And therefore, what my faith teaches me is that my love and attention to my husband does not depend on him being a faithful Catholic, right? I'm supposed to love and be attentive to him and show him affection and kindness in every consideration because I'm a Christian, because I'm a Catholic. And it's not dependent on his success as a Catholic, and the same way for a husband towards his wife. So if the children see that the Catholic faith is a reason why the more devout parent is actually more attentive, more loving, about to their spouse, to their other parent, then, that's the reason the children will have positive associations. They'll think of the faith as glue that holds their parents together, not as a wedge that drives them apart.
Again, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884, the number. Father Sebastian Walsh, our guest. We're talking about keeping your kids in the faith for life. That's part of the subtitle of his book, his new book, Always a Catholic. 888-318-7884. It's fun. When you were speaking about that, you know, I come from a family of, I have six brothers and sisters. There's seven of us, in case you had any trouble with that arithmetic. there's one of me. So I don't know why I said that. But I was just realizing that for each of our sacraments, my mother threw a party. I don't know how many parties that meant in the course of our young lives, but for every single sacrament, she threw a party.
Absolutely, right. It's exactly that kind of simple thing and that sense of being like, here, you've done something really great and it's worthy of celebration. and for, you know, young people to grow up with that sense of the joy of being a Catholic. And, you know, there's nothing like it. And I might add that not just with regard to sacraments, but with regard to the practice of the Catholic faith in general, you know, just when a parent sees their child just doing something that's matter-of-factly Catholic, to say a word of praise and to tell them how proud they are of that. And, you know, when they see their children praying, just, you know, they leave the church and their child stays back to pray for a little bit, you know, to just take them aside and a little quiet word and a hand on the shoulder and just say, I'm so proud that you're developing your own relationship with our Father in heaven, you know, and things like that. It's just a beautiful word. And then, of course, there's your own joyful example. You do those things. Your children will do what you do, right? In spite of the fact that they seem to try to do the opposite of what you do many times, eventually they're going to do what you do, right? As long as they think you love them and care about them, they're going to follow your example.
888-318-7884, the number. Your questions welcome. We got to take a quick break right now. It is spring. We have done the research here, and we found out it is spring. It took an extensive use of the supercomputers here at Catholic Answers, but we now know it's spring. So spring sale is appropriate now. You can get 10 to 25% off at shop.catholic.com. What can you get 10 to 20% off of? It's everything. Shop.catholic.com.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Want the latest pro-life news? Want it delivered? Sign up. It's free. EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, your source for everything happening now in the fight to protect the sanctity of human life. New episodes delivered every week to your inbox. So if you really want to know,
sign up today.
Go to EWTN.com/pro-life today.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Thanks so much for being with us. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Tomorrow we're going to do 2 hours of open forum. I think Jimmy here both hours tomorrow? Do you remember? You'll tell me in a minute, and I'll let you know. The number now, 888-318-7884, our good friend Father Sebastian Walsh of the Norbertine community here in Southern California, St. Michael's Abbey up in Orange County, is our guest. He's got a brand new book for us here at Catholic Answers called Always a Catholic, How to Keep Your Kids in the Faith and Bring Them Back If They Have Strayed. You are welcome to call with your questions, 888-318-7884. And I see what it is. I see this is, it's one of those Monday things. Everybody waited until the last, look, all the lines lit up now. Every single line lit up, Father. They all waited. Here's the problem. I'm going to tell you all the problem with your parenting right now before I even talk to you. It's procrastination. I don't know what other problems you have, but procrastination.
I know as a priest that if you have a 2 hours set up for confession, then 90% of the people will come in the last 10 minutes. I can tell you that.
It's because we know you'll be easier on us. We've tired you out by then. on us at the end. I'm not even going to give out the number anymore. There's so many people who want to get on with you. But this, you said people have bad experience with the sacraments, but this is also a thing that preparing your children for the sacraments at home is an important part of your Catholic parenting. And if you don't know how to do it, there's a lot of resources, but do prepare your children for the sacraments.
Yes. Remember, the primary duty of the education of the children is not the local parish, not the Catholic school. It's you, the Catholic parent. And even if you're not Catholic, maybe you're a non-Catholic, and one of your spouse is Catholic and you're not, and nevertheless your children being raised Catholic, you still have a role to play in your children's education and help them understand that. Maybe you can understand that your spouse's Catholic faith better and so forth. But the primary role of educating the children falls to the parents, and that involves also sacramental preparation, a catechesis and things like that. That should first start in the home, and then from there, you're assisted by your local parish. You're assisted by the Catholic schools.
I have to say, Father, if you're lucky, you're assisted. Sometimes, and you have a chapter on that in here too. But
That's right.
You have to get the book to read that chapter. I'm not going to try to sum that. But the truth is, many of our institutions are in trouble. And so as a parent, you don't always get the support of the institutions of the church in the way that you did before, and maybe will again before too long. Steubenville, Ohio, Tabitha up next. Tabitha, thank you so much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Father.
Yes. So I had a question. I converted later in life, and I had my daughter outside of marriage. And so whenever I converted to Catholicism, she was about 4. And since then, I've gotten married and we try really hard to live out the faith. But she has turned 9 this year, and she has just reached a point where she just doesn't know what she believes. And I feel like it's very early for her to even have some of the questions that she has.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm just not very sure how to address them, but because I feel like she doesn't believe me.
Yes. Okay. Well, good. I have a little chapter in there saying, don't panic if your children question their faith. There's got to be a point when they make the faith their own, and that's a natural thing. Now, I agree with you that 9 is kind of young, and what that tells me, it tells me two things. The first thing it tells me is she's probably getting a lot of exposure to anti-Catholic or contrary to Catholic teaching information on the internet and through school. So how much access does she have to the internet, and how often, and is she in some kind of, what's her schooling environment or educational environment like?
So she goes to a Catholic private school here, and we don't want, like, I tend to limit how much she actually uses the internet. I really am, like, very unaware if she's using the internet, and I don't know about it. But I mean, maybe like 30 minutes a day. She might use the TV for 30 minutes a day. She doesn't have a smartphone. You know, like, I only have one computer in my house, and it's in my dining room. And some of these things. So
I would go, and I would make sure, you know, exactly go through the history and figure out exactly, you know, what your child has been looking at the internet. I would be very careful about that. And I would, as a, just a matter of course, I wouldn't have her on the internet without you being physically present. Okay, that's the first thing, is just being able to just sort of watch. For a 9-year-old especially, I can't tell you, again, how often I've seen children at that young age deeply harmed through the internet when parents have no clue about what they're seeing and what they're actually getting on the internet. So that's one thing. The other thing is, I have a chapter in my book about Catholic schools, and just because your child's going to a private Catholic school does not mean they're getting a Catholic education. In fact, very often they're getting the opposite. And you know, I would look at certain questions, like, for example, are the faculty members there at that school, are they practicing Catholic? Are they someone who really supports the teaching of the church? Do they consider themselves progressive and trying to push the envelope and getting the church to change her teachings on things? Like, you know, we have to really be deeply involved. Like, who is teaching her children? Who's giving her these ideas? Because I guarantee you, a 9-year-old who's in a healthy, happy Catholic family environment is not getting these ideas from herself. She's getting them from someone and somewhere. And you need to find out where that's coming from. Okay, that'd be the first thing. The second thing I would do is I would just ask, so what's her relationship with her dad? I mean, what are the family relationships there? Does she feel loved by both her mom and her dad? And does she feel like she belongs and she's in a situation where she's content with her family relationships?
Tabitha?
Right. She doesn't know her dad. So yeah. It's something that I've addressed this last year. I've seen some connection to it, or somehow this man that she doesn't feel has acknowledged her has somehow made her question her worth. I've attempted to kind of draw a connection. I've made him very aware that's something that's happening, so that he can, you know, reach out to her. So,
and the man that you're married to now, is he taking the role of a loving father, a loving parent, and caring for her? And is there a lot of good, close affection there, or what's going on with regard to that?
Yes. So, like, for us to be a blended family, it's a very natural flowing. I mean, we kind of he had a son, and I have her, and you know, we just kind of took on the role as mom and dad. We don't do stepmom, stepdad. You know, we kind of just, everybody, it kind of try to be as close to a traditional family as we can be. I kind of worry about the amount of hypocrisy that our children see in us promoting a traditional family when we're not one.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, there's no need in saying that there's some hypocrisy in promoting a traditional family. What you're doing is, it's precisely because you think a traditional family is the best setting for raising children that you want to make your family as close to a traditional family as possible, right? So that's not hypocrisy. It's actually saying, well, while we can't have this in a perfect way, we want to get as close as possible to that. And so absolutely have no fear in saying, look, we didn't do everything the right way, but given what we did, we're going to try and make it as good as possible. And this is how we do it. You know, and so have no fear about that. But I suspect with 9 years old, if there's questions about the faith, that's a double cause. One is, you already mentioned, she's starting to question her self-worth, and that's kind of a moral root of what's going on. And then the other thing is, she's getting access to objections and problems from some source that you need to find out, and you need to be able to protect her from those things when she's too young to be wrestling with a lot of those objections and problems. So that's what I would say.
But so many kids who are just objectively, you'd say that is too young for that to be occurring to them or for them to be struggling with that. So many are. Tabitha, God bless you. You sound like such a loving and good mom. If you want to hang on the line, I'd love to send you both of Father Sebastian Walsh's books for us here at Catholic Answers. Always a Catholic, the book we're talking about today, and his other book, Secrets from Heaven, Hidden Treasures of Faith in the Parables and Conversations of Jesus. Thanks, Tabitha. I'm going to try to get another, at least one more caller on here with Father before we go. And so I'm going to go to Evangeline in Fremont, Nebraska, listening on Facebook Live. Evangeline, you there with us?
Yes, I am.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
Happy to.
So I am a single mom. I'm a single parent. Mm-hmm. I was married. I'm still married. But my husband is struggling with health issues, and he thought it would be safe to be away for the moment. But it's been 3 years now. So I feel like I'm on my own, and I'm in charge of my child, including the faith. I am a very faithful Catholic, and I want to raise my child the same way. I do not find guidelines or instructions or helpful advice for families like me. So I was wondering if Father has any tips or sections in his book or any resources I can go to for someone like me. I do not plan to be married. Again, I don't plan to divorce. I am hoping for a miracle. But in the meantime, I'm afraid what I should do.
Well, thank you, Evangeline. Father?
I did. I specifically wrote into the book that particular advice for people that are from non-traditional family situations, for example, where either a spouse has died or where the family's been wounded by divorce, or in your case, just physical separation. I don't know. I don't understand exactly all the circumstances of your husband's health situation. I mean, does he even have contact with his child kind of regularly by phone or some sort of that kind of regular contact? Or is he just completely not in contact with the children, with his child?
I try to reach out. He responds. He calls. If I call, he doesn't initiate.
Okay.
I try my best. It's hard, but I do because I know it's important for my child. So I do that.
Okay.
I reach out.
Okay.
I share pictures, have pictures mm-hmm. in the home. We draw pictures every time. We have to include that because there can't be a baby without mom and dad, things like that. So, but he doesn't show up physically.
Okay. I understand. Okay. So, and in a case like that, look, the first thing and the most important thing is for your child, for the good of your child, is to help your child to love your father with his problems. And without assigning moral blame there, I don't know exactly what's happening with him, but it's whatever it is, it doesn't sound like how a father should be to his child, even regardless of whatever health problems he's having, unless maybe they're mental health problems. The fact of the matter is you need to encourage your child to love their father and to pray for their father. And on your part, you make sure that you stay away or steer away from unnecessary criticism of your child's father. And your child will see the defects and they'll say, like, it's not how it should be. And you can admit that and you say, no, this isn't how it should be. Your dad should be more involved in your life, but he's not. But he gave you life, and I'm very grateful to your dad for giving you life. And I want to do the best I can to help you love your father. And maybe that love and that prayer will be something that will help him to grow so he can become the father that God wants him to be. So that would be my first piece of advice. Help your child to love her dad or his dad with his problems.
Evangeline, if you hang on the line, we'll send you to Father Walsh's two books as well. But as you can hear the music, we have to go. God bless you. Thank you for that call. Sorry, that's all we were able to get to. Father, may we have your blessing before we go?
Of course. Per intercessionem Beata Maria Virginis et Omnem Sanctorum, benedictus Dei Omnipotentis Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendat super vos et mania semper.
Amen. Father Sebastian Walsh has been our guest. You can get the book over at shop.catholic.com. It's called Always a Catholic, How to Keep Your Kids in the Faith for Life and Bring Them Back. if they've strayed. Father Sebastian Walsh, thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. Tomorrow, 2 hours with who? Jimmy Akin. Open forum. We'll see you then, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.